This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here, the firm of Harris and Meringue. If you missed any of the first hour, you can download that, The Fan Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, 105.1thefan.com, the Odyssey app, or over on the YouTubes, youtube.com/1051thefan. If you missed Joe and Rashad's final morning show of the year, as they filled in for the Sunrise guys, you can catch that. If you missed Sukanik last night on primetime, you can catch that on YouTube, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Rewind, fast forward, except for in the future. For that, would be impossible. We'll give you some programming updates on here's what's going down for today, tomorrow, etc. You get us until 1 o'clock in our normal time slot. At 1 o'clock, we will hand the reins over to Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, and Jason Sukanik as they will do the Orange Bowl preview show presented by Tullamore Dew. Talking with our crack producer over there, Jeffrey Rust. He will podcast that show if you can't catch it. It will be put up on the primetime page. So if you missed it, you can go back and check it out. I'm fascinated to listen to that show. I love what Q and Dirt do, and throwing Sukanik in on a big game will be a lot of fun. After that, at 4 o'clock, we will turn it over to ESPN Radio as we will cover the game we're going to chat about right now. The Miami-Ohio State tonight.
Tonight.
The Cotton Bowl. So that's everything for you. We are all off tomorrow, as you will hear the Ducks right here. Pregame starts at 6. We'll toss it over, to Jerry and Jorgie and Dusty at 7, kick at 9, and all the postgame festivities, including the postgame show, the Dick Hanna Dealership postgame show live from Grand Central Bowl. And then everybody's back on Friday. Sounds like we have a normal work day on Friday. Isaac's back. I believe the Sunrise guys are back. We'll be here. So we'll get you right back in to normal.
Trying to get Friday off after, you know, being forced to come in tomorrow morning, but no dice.
I know, dude. I'm sorry. Maybe you shouldn't have been sick for all of November.
Yeah, exactly, right? It was 4 days, man.
I know. I'm just teasing you.
I made that joke with Dusty, too. He's like, meh.
Yeah, so give Jeff Rust. He's pulling the hard duty today, and everybody else at the Fan for the hard work they've put into. Getting into this hour, let's talk about some other college football playoff. We'll be a heavy college football playoff show today. We'll get some little Blazers in at the big nooner as well. I'm trying to see if Dirt will join us. He might be too busy, so we'll just play it by ear. But Miami, Ohio State tonight. I'm trying to find a way to watch this game without my kids telling me the state of Ohio is a trash place and not allow me to actually focus on this game.
Well, they're not wrong.
I of all the of the four games, okay, I find Oregon, Texas Tech the most evenly matched. I find Ole Miss, Georgia, maybe the biggest mismatch.
Interesting.
I do. Yeah, we'll talk about them in a little bit. I like how you responded there. The Alabama-Indiana game, which Alabama shows up? That's kind of how I look at it. I'm not worried about Indiana. But if Alabama somehow decided to figure out how to run the football, well, maybe we got a game. This Miami-Ohio State game, on paper to me, Ohio State should dominate. But I also know that Miami's defense is their front. Their front is really good.
It's nasty.
It's really nasty. They got dudes that are going to play on Sunday there. And I believe if they can get to Julian Sain, there could be issues for Ohio State. For me, though, it all lies on the Vampire. It's all lies on Carson Beck. What kind of game does he play?
As a reminder, who has Ohio State played this year?
I'm going to go with Youngstown State.
Basically, they beat Texas the beginning of the season 14-7 in one of the worst games we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Washington 24-6.
I watched that game, and I'll never get that back.
They beat Illinois 34-16.
Illinois turned out to be an okay team, but they got housed by Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of beat a banged-up USC team. Kind of beat. Not an impressive win for me.
But also, Illinois just beat an SEC team in a bowl game.
Well, don't get me started on that.
Oh, the SEC.
Oh, Tennessee and all their losses against teams over 500 and all their wins against teams under 500?
Yeah. And then
congratulations.
Vandy's currently getting stuffed into a locker by Iowa.
Yeah, because Kirk Ferentz and Iowa is a better team than they are. Yeah. If you wanted Vandy in the playoff, turn on ESPN right now and I'll tell you why they didn't make it.
You're seeing what happened.
Yes. Yeah.
Diego Pavia, maybe don't be a doucher.
Yes.
But I say all this to say Ohio State's a very good team.
Very good.
But they played nobody, and when they did play anybody, Texas, 14-7, Indiana, 13-10, it's their defense. It's not their offense. Mm-hmm. Now, their offense is loaded with skill position guys, but they have a true freshman quarterback. It's like, oh, he completed 80% of his passes here. Cool. Check down Charlie does not impress me when you're playing Minnesota and Grambling and Ohio and Purdue but and UCLA and Rutgers.
But he finished third in the Heisman, Danny.
He should never have even been on that list.
Oh, he finished fourth, my bad.
He should not have been on that list. And that's not to say that Julian Sands is going to be a great college quarterback.
In 2 years, he will be the Heisman front runner, and they will be favored to win the national championship.
They probably will.
If not next year.
Yes. But we saw what he looked like against Indiana.
We saw what he looked like against Texas. Now, that's his first start, obviously. And Texas Tech has a very good defense and was super hyped coming into the year. You know, kind of fell apart with Texas because of Arch and such. But I've been with you on this whole train. I am not a Julian Sand guy.
Not right now.
Not right now. I am not really a Carson Beck guy. But, hey, you go back to week 4 or 5 of the season and we said this multiple times.
Who's Miami was the best team in the country.
Was Miami. Now, they've stubbed their toe, and, you know, there are teams that are peaking at the right time right now. I think Georgia is peaking at the absolute right time right now and might be my pick to win the whole thing at this point. Miami is not peaking at the right time. If Texas A&M doesn't miss 3 field goals, they're out. They're out.
But I will also point out, This is where I think this game is interesting. Excuse me, it's interesting. You have 2 of the best defenses in the country.
Yes.
Ohio State, Miami. And if you're asking me which offense do I trust to be better, I can't believe I'm saying this, it's Carson Beck in Miami.
I do too. I love Jeremiah Smith. He might be one of the most fascinating players I've seen in college football since Tim Tebow, Reggie Bush. Mm-hmm. Like, he could be that for me. Obviously, his stats were not Biletnikoff this year.
No.
We know where that went. But as far as raw talent, he's my guy. As a unit, Sane is just tough for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to swallow. And the kid is 19 years old, so I'm not...
We're not throwing him to the wolves.
No, not at all. I don't want to poop all over him. But Will Howard's contributions last year, I think, will be missed when they watch this game.
Again, Carson Beck, not either of our Huckleberries.
No,
he threw for 3,200 yards, completed 75% of his passes.
And Danny's favorite quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, beat him out, which is why he transferred to Miami. Like you're losing to Gunnar Stockton? That's a tough pill for me to swallow.
But also, Carson Beck's bugaboo.
I like Gunnar more than you, but
yeah.
He's a Georgia quarterback.
He's a great
college quarterback.
I just...
Not named Matt Stafford. He's a Georgia quarterback.
Yes. But Beck has 10 interceptions on the year. That is his thing of like, he can just puke all over that ball. If he doesn't do that, he manages everything. Malachi Toney goes out there and is Malachi Toney and has a game-breaking play. He's a guy, he reminds me of Branch, who was at USC, who's at Georgia now, who every time he touches the ball, you go, oh, because he's
Tony's
just so fast. It's, you know, it's not Reggie Bush because that's one of one. But Branch, Tony, D'Anthony Thomas, like every time they touch the ball, you're just like, this guy can go because his twitch is just gone.
That's like how I felt Oregon and James Madison with Deer Hill.
Yeah,
every time he got the ball, I thought he was just
going to break it.
Yeah.
And Malik Benson's been that way for Oregon, too. He gets the ball and he's gone.
It's just like, and I look at that, and I look at Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith is that on every single play.
Mm.
But it's a different kind of stuff. I don't know what it is. This is the biggest spread of the weekend, and it's my biggest upset.
You're going to take Miami?
I'm going to take Miami.
You know, I...
To cover.
I have... I've actually been trying to talk myself into taking Miami to win this game. And...
It's 70-30 in the analytics.
But in the analytics, though, I also think, and this is part of SP Plus, this is part of the conversation we were having about Oregon against Texas Tech. And some of you on the text line have said this as well. 503-864-6326. Texas Tech has a great run defense. Who runs the ball in the Big 12? Not as much as they do in the Big 10. Okay, USC or Ohio State has a great defense. Who the hell they play in the Big 10?
Nobody.
Nobody. So your metrics and your analytics might tell you that Ohio State is, quote unquote, the better team. But I've seen Miami beat Florida State. I've seen when we all thought Florida State was great. I saw them beat Notre Dame, who you all want in the playoff.
We saw them beat A&M.
And I saw them beat them. I saw them beat A&M, who also beat Notre Dame. I've seen them beat South Florida when we thought Byron Brown and that South Florida team was going to be our G5 team.
Beat the hell out of them.
They beat the hell out of Florida State in a piss-raining Doak Walker.
And they beat the hell out of Pitt to close out the season.
So Miami has the juice. They have the resume.
They also peed down their leg against Louisville and SMU.
The only problem with Miami, which is why I just can't get myself to take them in this game, is, as we mentioned, the Vampire and Carson Beck and Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mario, you are at the point. We're talking about the noise maybe getting turned up a little bit on Dan if they lose this game. It's already there with Mario for me.
I think it went way down.
Just because of the win?
Beating A&M. Because here's the thing. Oregon beat JMU, and I'm not taking away anything from Oregon fans, but it's JMU. Miami went into Kyle Field and locked them down.
Like I said, 3 missed field goals. You flip 2 of those, and they lose that game.
And again, in Miami's 2 losses this season to SMU and Louisville, against SMU, Carson Beck, 2 picks.
Yep.
Against Louisville, Carson Beck, 4.
4 picks. That's right. I couldn't remember which game was the bad one.
So he's got 10 picks on the season. Six of them in those 2 losses.
Don't be shocked if Miami's better than we think.
I
just, it's just the crystal ball thing. It just worries me.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
And Ryan Day is top 5. If not one, no, probably 2.
Yeah.
Right behind Kirby.
Yeah.
And not my Kirby, but Georgia Kirby. Yeah. Well, I got a new Kirby now, so I got to differentiate.
You going to go like Kirby video game?
That Kirby?
Little cloud?
I think I'm just going to ride the coattails of the Prosser Tosser and his brother.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It works.
Did you see who we hired as a DC?
I did.
Old Trent Bray.
You excited about that?
I got
multiple texts and DMs the second it happened to like check on Harris.
Check on Harris.
Can
we get a welfare check on OP over there?
It's a fine hire.
It's a great hire.
Trent Bray is a defensive coordinator. He's entirely fine. He's just not a head coach.
Yeah. If he was our head coach.
That's a problem. But Trent Bray is a defensive coordinator? I have zero issues with that.
I'm going to take Miami in this game.
To win?
Yeah, I am.
I'm taking him to cover.
If I have to go out on a limb, we'll get to Alabama, Indiana next. Because I think Alabama might put up a better fight than we think.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick an upset this weekend, I don't count Oregon as an upset. That's 4-5. But if I had to look at these other games and pick an upset, I lean more towards Miami. I don't know if Ohio State's ready.
No.
Mostly because I haven't seen it.
Yes. And
that's the big part. I haven't seen it.
Where Oregon hasn't played that many people, they've played more than Ohio State.
Without a doubt. Iowa. I'm watching Iowa on TV. They've played more than Ohio State.
I mean, Iowa, Ohio State.
Iowa, Ohio State in a Big Ten championship? I have no idea where that game goes.
None.
Gronkowski is a more developed quarterback right now than Julian Sain is.
God, that's terrifying.
Right? Isn't that a rough thing to say? But it's kind of true.
But it's also the curse of an Iowa quarterback.
That is true. So. That is well. But I also love Ferentz, too. All right, when we come back, let's dive into that Alabama-Indiana game. What Alabama team shows up, and does Indiana continue to ride? We'll do that next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick, 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Well, it's a nice New Year's Eve here today. We're happy to have you along. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, we appreciate you being with us.
Listening?
Dude, I told you, man, I forgot how to do this job. I can't believe it, dude. This has been so nice to have you, my man.
That feeling will pass.
All the trash that I talk behind your back, like I only kind of regret it now.
Mm.
It's good to have the team back together. Rusty doing the hard work over there, as he always is. Let's continue in the college football playoff look. Tonight is Miami, Ohio State. I'm really excited to watch that game at 4:30. That's going to be, you know, must-watch TV for all of us. Tomorrow, the granddaddy of them all, the game, the big game. I've told this story many, many times. When I was a kid, New Year's Day, I'd wake up. My parents would drive me over to my grandparents' house. We would watch the Rose Parade, and then we would watch the Rose Bowl. That was a family tradition. We would always root against the Big Ten and pro Pac-10, no matter who it was, unless it was the Huskies.
Gross.
So we rooted for, dude, we rooted for your team in Rose Bowls.
Still
gross. We rooted for everybody in a Rose Bowl, unless you were a Husky, because we hated the Big Ten. The Rose Bowl does have a Big Ten representative this year. It is the number one team in the nation. That is Indiana. You remember the signs? We want Bama. We want Bama. Well, Indiana, you get Bama.
Come on down.
Now, what's interesting about this is Kurt Cignetti was asked about how his players will respond to playing against the behemoth known as Alabama.
And I'm sure Kurt didn't say anything about it.
Kurt Cignetti, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, said something along the lines of, well, I think that's how you guys look at Alabama. Our kids don't look at Alabama that way. They just know what they see on tape. And boy, if that's not the closest to Google me bitch that I've heard from him in a while, I think Cignetti feels real good going into this game. Dare I say, feels better than anybody else going into this game.
So interestingly enough, of all of the analytics, Indiana has the highest chance to win, yet their spread is down. Spread opened at 7. It stayed at 7. I'm sorry. It opened at 6.5. It's opened at 6.5 and is now 7. Excuse me. But it hasn't really moved much. It's kind of just stayed there. I know Miami, Ohio State, the highest spread. We talked about this before you went on break.
Mm.
I think this game should have the largest spread. Who's the number one team in the country?
Indiana.
Who did Indiana beat?
Ohio State, okay. Oregon. Who else they got on there? Penn State. Well, I guess Penn State wasn't very good, but that was a wild game.
But I mean, like...
They got wins. Iowa. Did I already say Iowa?
Does anybody else in the country have 2 top 5 wins?
No.
And did they punch both those teams in the face?
Yes.
Then what the hell are we doing here?
I don't
understand it.
Am I taking crazy pills?
Like, does anybody else have 2 top 5 wins where they just absolutely punch the other team in the face?
Well, and that's what's so wild. And
they physically beat the hell out of 2 of the best rosters in college football in Ohio State and Oregon.
And honestly, this is why I prefer local radio to national radio, because Cignetti's not wrong. The reason we feel like everyone's taking crazy pills
is because the name's Indiana.
The mainstream media is just looking at the front of the jerseys. Because, oh, you know, the classic line that national media is saying right now. Can you imagine 10 years ago if I told you Alabama, Indiana in a playoff and Indiana's favored by 7? You'd look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, guys, I get it. I get it. Indiana's been a nothing program for a long time.
Wait,
but open your eyeballs. Do I need to open your eyeballs, Clockwork Orange style?
Neither one of these.
This team is good. They won the Heisman.
Neither one of these programs are currently what they used to be.
No.
But different directions.
Dude, like, I know that I piss all over Kalen DeBoer a lot, but the dude is a damn good coach. He is a damn good coach. Yes. He ain't Saban. Ty Simpson is a good quarterback. This ain't
Alabama can't run the football.
No.
When the hell did that ever happen? Okay, they got Heisman Trophy winning
Mark
running
Ingram,
backs.
Derrick Henry.
Like, they can't run the ball? Are you watching this game? Now, I know Alabama's about to return. They had 9 guys out against Georgia in the SEC title game, okay? Or in the SEC title game and some of it for Oklahoma as well. They're getting 8 of those guys back. Mm-hmm. So they are at full strength. But look, I've seen Alabama at full strength. I don't love this matchup.
No, I don't either. And the crazy pill side of this is I'm very much hoping the SEC continues to do what the SEC has done so far in bowl season, which is get the crap kicked out of them by other teams.
Mm-hmm. Big Ten is undefeated. Oh, my bad. Oh. They have a loss.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of narratives, boy, your team taking it on the chin today.
Boy. That game was, again, I don't count it as nothing, but when you have that many guys out, you have that many guys out.
Sounds
it is
like
what it
excuses
is.
Excuses to me.
Look, they should have won. It's that simple. But credits to TCU. But the I can't wait. Can't wait until we come back on Monday when we get through these games. And Paul Feinbaum's doing that 6:30 in the morning walk of shame.
Mm-hmm. How is he going to walk it back? Yeah.
Closing that door behind him, leaving that college football playoff house, you know, with his hoodie in his arms, trying not to wake anybody up because you got ran through.
Yeah, is the walk of shame better at 3 a.m. or when the sun's come up? Because this might be a 3 a.m. walk of shame. Yep. I talked about how I think that of all the upsets that could happen, again, I don't really count Oregon and Texas Tech because
this would be the biggest upset for me.
This would be the biggest upset by far.
Bama beating Indiana.
And this would be the biggest surprise because, look, Ole Miss is out lane, and we'll get to that game in a second, but they had Georgia for a bit from a talent perspective in that.
They should have won that game.
They should have won that game. This game feels like the biggest separation because also, let's not forget, Alabama spotted Oklahoma 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching that game thinking, Oklahoma about to blow the doors off of Alabama. Now, DeBoer adjusted. Ty Simpson adjusted.
And they made some big-time plays.
And they made big-time plays, and that defense clamped down on what had been a struggling offense, and then Oklahoma
spot Indiana 17 points, and your blood's getting smattered all over the wall.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They can't take that chance. You can't give up early points, which they've done all year, and they can't. Again, you're looking at fronts of the jerseys. Indiana can run the ball, throw the ball, stop the run, stop the pass, and they got a Heisman Trophy quarterback, okay? Is Mendoza my guy? Not really. He's got a statue. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Alabama.
Is he the best quarterback in the country? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Maybe not my Heisman, but sure. Best quarterback in the country? Sure. Yeah. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Ty Simpson, pretty good.
Yeah.
I like Ty.
I would take Ty, if you're asking me, of all of the quarterbacks currently left in the playoff, Ty is probably second on my list.
I'll take Dante over Ty, but it's close.
I know some people say Gunnar Stockton. I think I'd take Ty as a pure passer.
I think I probably go Mendoza, Dante, Ty, and
Gunnar.
Honestly, maybe Beck.
I think I'd take
if Gunnar. It's good Beck.
Yeah, that's the thing is
if it's good Beck.
I think I'd take Gunnar over Beck just because you don't really
have Gunner doesn't happen a ton.
No, it doesn't really happen. And then Chambliss? Yeah, Chambliss.
Chambliss. And Chambliss might be the one we're sleeping on the most. In fact, let's slide over to that. You take Indiana in this game?
Yeah.
I take Indiana.
Indiana and to cover.
I think it's time that we stop looking at the front of the jersey.
Yeah.
And when we have this conversation.
Just look at what teams are doing.
And watch how they play. Indiana's a fun team. Unless you're Gus Johnson! Trinidad Chambliss, maybe the most underlooked player in this college football playoff. We'll get to them as they have a rematch with Georgia. But first, the Kahuna with sports.
You ever had a big Kahuna burger?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system, It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
We'll say adios to a future Hall of Famer in Web Gems today. This music makes me feel like giving him the old tip of the cap, as we'll get to Web Gems here in about 15 minutes. But we'll finish up our college football playoff rodeo here as the final game is Ole Miss, Georgia. And do you know, I saw this stat the other day. I think it was, I was watching, what was the bowl game before the USC game last night? Illinois, Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
And the studio hosts, they did some kind of trivia, and I'm going to butcher this, but just hear me out on it. They kind of asked, in the playoff era, there it has been like five times in which a team has defeated the same team for a second time in the season. And the only team to do it is Ole Miss because they beat Tulane in the regular season.
Oh, there you go.
And then the gods gave them, they said, we're sorry for your loss in the Kiffin debacle. Have Tulane
T's
again.
T's and P's. Yes. Here's Tulane again.
and you know, Ole Miss went out there and handled business. And there is not a program in the playoff, whether you count the first round or what's left over, that has not had a more rocky ride to get there than Ole Miss. Okay? They have one loss on the year. It's at Georgia, a game they should have won, and they lost. Mm-hmm. The Kiffin debacle was insane. You could say maybe Mario had to sweat it out at Miami to get into the playoff, but that's a little your own doing. Don't throw four picks against Louisville, and don't lose a bad game against SMU, against an average SMU team. So that's a little on you. Ole Miss, like, we love Chambliss on this show. We think that Ole Miss, we're pro Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
And Kiffin kind of did the Pavia thing of like, nah, I'm actually a new shirt.
I'm still pro Kiffin.
I mean, I know you are. And I'm still a little pro Kiffin as well. But they've had to deal with a lot, and they handled business against Tulane. I wonder if there is any stock to them being probably the most overlooked team of this round, despite the fact that they should have beat Georgia in between the hedges in Athens.
Look, we haven't talked about this much recently with Oregon, with, you know, the coordinators moving on and LaPoy and Will Stein. Good God, I can't remember Will Stein's name for a second there. And whether or not that's going to be a problem for Oregon, not just this game, but if they advance beyond this game, what it kind of means. Because, again, in a couple of days, transfer portal opens up. Will Stein and Tosh LaPoy are going to be gone. Like, they may be there, but they're gone.
Yeah.
But with Lane Kiffin gone, Kiffin's gone, but your play callers all remain.
Yeah, Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to call the plays still. Your new coach is the DC who's promoted. So, yeah, you're kind of in-house. Trinidad Chambliss has been like, ah, shut up. When asked if he's talked to Lane Kiffin, he goes, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. He's like, I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
But he also did the T-Mobile or AT&T ad of, like, you know, transferring. Which, again, I can't remember which company it was, but shout out to them because he's like, I've made my decision. I'm going to stay with this cell phone company. I was like, oh, you sneaky little, good for you. Whoever's running your NIL department at Ole Miss, congratulations. or your agent who got you in on this. Then what you need to do is go ahead and transfer and hit the portal as soon as you lose.
Right.
I'm going to do the thing. Ole Miss is going to win this game.
Really?
Ole Miss is going to win this
game.
How
are they going to win this game? Because right now, I think Georgia is the most buttoned-up team. Mm-hmm. I think Kirby is coaching at an absolute. This might be one of the best Kirby Smart coaching gigs I've seen all year. I know he's got a Bama problem. But what I've seen Kirby do in the second half against teams when they're close games has been very, very fast, very entertaining, and very impressive to me.
Trinidad Chambliss did not have a great game against Georgia when they first played. 19 of 36, 263, and a touchdown. No picks. Had two rushing touchdowns. But passing the ball, there were opportunities that he let go by, especially in that second half. And you can say that's Georgia's defense. When they went a little bit more man-heavy, they got away from some of their zone schemes. But when I look back at that game, I think Georgia gave them their best, and I think Ole Miss fumbled that away. I don't think they made the necessary adjustments. And I don't think that they're better off without Lane, but I think they've learned. And when you've played another team where they had to unload the script on you,
because
Georgia had there's
had
nothing they were hiding.
Nope, they had to empty.
I think with that, you can prepare. And I'm a Chambliss guy. I have been coming into the season. I was talking about Ole Miss and Austin Simmons and Trinidad Chambliss. I'm like, where does this go? How does this going to come out? And you were like, I don't know, I was
like,
man.
What are you talking about? Simmons is their guy. Like, Kiffin doesn't do this with quarterbacks.
But Chambliss came in that relief when Simmons got hurt. And I went, woo, buddy. Chambliss has got some juice, baby. I don't think he's like this great, like, if you're comparing quarterbacks, I don't, like, Darian Mensah, who I've mentioned Duke a million times, I think is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. I just, call me dumb, whatever. I don't care. I don't think Chambliss is going to be a great NFL quarterback, but I think he's a really, really, really good college quarterback in that the ask of him is great and he meets it. It's like Byron Brown is the same way. The ask of you is great and you deliver over and over and over. And he's not a guy who's going to run the ball for 1,000 yards. He's not Haynes King. He's not Byron Brown. But he has 500 rushing yards in the season.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, Lacy's back for Ole Miss, so the running game is there.
He's got the dinged-up shoulder, but...
But let me ask you this.
He's a dude.
Is there any quarterback with more pressure on their shoulders in this round than Trinidad Chambliss?
Yeah, Gunnar Stockton.
You think so?
Yes.
You think so? Because, like, I think Oregon can win
Ole Miss has the excuse. Lane Kiffin's gone. You've already got your win.
Fair. I guess I look at it like Texas Tech can win if Baron Morton's not good.
Sure.
Okay. Oregon can win if Dante's not good. Ohio State wins a lot with Julian Sand not being very good. Carson Beck, maybe it's more Carson than Trinidad Chambliss, but I feel like Ole Miss has to have a monster game from Trinidad Chambliss.
That I agree with. The production,
Miami's defense can carry them. Miami's receivers can carry them.
But also, Kwon Lacy can also...
Agreed.
He's the second best running back in the country behind Jeremiah Love.
From a quarterback standpoint, though, I think it's Chambliss.
Because if I remember right, Lacy did not have a game against them. Yeah, he had 12 carries for 31 yards. He did have two touchdowns, but he averaged 2.6 yards a carry against Georgia in the first matchup. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the bigger key than Chambliss. Can they get Lacy going? Because that's the thing that kind of unlocks that. Again, this Georgia team is not Georgia from 3 or 4 years ago.
No team is anymore.
No. They don't.
They're not.
There's not a Jordan Davis with Jalen Carter or a Jalen Carter with Jordan Davis backing him up. That's not the thing.
Who's going to be the better quarterback in the end? We just talked about this. Will Howard or Julian Sain? In the end, it's going to be Julian Sain. If Will Howard's playing quarterback for Ohio State right now, sign me up. They win it.
I mean, just take a look at
no team is what they thought, what they used to be. The front of the jersey is not the same anymore.
No.
Yes, Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State, and, you know, maybe you want to throw in Oregon as they're trying to be perennial, you know, consistent players. They might still be players, but they're not the dominant whoop-your-ass players anymore.
No, and that's to your point. Look, Georgia is not a place that's been known for, like, wide receiver use. Zachariah Branch, the USC transfer, is their most explosive weapon. He's gotten healthy, and he's terrifying when he touches the ball. 73 catches, 744 yards, 5 touchdowns. After that, it's Colby Young with 336, Dylan Bell at 279, London Humphreys at 276, and Noah Thomas at 254. That's...
Yeah.
Your leading wide receiver in Zach Branch is 73 catches. Your next closest guy is 27 catches.
Clearly, they have an identity on offense, and it might be a little one-dimensional is what you're saying.
Zach Branch is, not again, 73 catches for 744 yards. This is one of the 5 most explosive players in college, hands down.
And he should easily have over 1,000 yards.
But he's averaging 10 yards a catch because the staggering majority of his catches, you know what they are? Screens. Get him in space.
Check down Charlie's.
But you want him in space because he is so terrifying. But this is not a team. They have one play, I think, this year of over 50 yards receiving.
I mean, that sounds like Georgia to me. You know, methodical. When we talk about quarterback play at Georgia in Carson Beck, Gunnar Stockton, who is the kid that won the net, Stetson Bennett?
Yep.
They are not giant arms.
No.
Every quarterback I've ever seen at Georgia, not
completing 71% of his passes.
They complete, but they're not bombs. They don't do that. They want to run the ball, and Georgia's going to try to run the ball. I love this text on the text line, 503-864-6326. This might go to your point, Danny. Ole Miss playing with house money, loose, free, great shot to win straight up. You got nothing to lose.
Look,
you got nothing to lose.
If Lacy can run the ball, which is a tall task, and when you're talking about Georgia and, you know, Georgia-Bama, Georgia can stop the run real well. They've shown that all season.
And that's what Kirby does. It's Georgia defenses.
Now, can Ole Miss be multidimensional? If they can,
it's a great question.
I like Ole Miss.
Yep. And can they be complete turnover-free, good defense? Mm-hmm. Bend, don't break.
Because this Georgia offense, while good, it doesn't scare you.
No, it does not. I like their running game.
And that's a running back by committee, whether it's Frazier or Bowens and right. Gunnar Stockton. Like,
and I like Gunnar Stockton more than you do, but that doesn't mean I like Gunnar Stockton.
And again, I don't hate Gunnar. He's just not my guy. He's a very good college quarterback.
I have to take Georgia in this game because I think Georgia might win the whole thing.
I don't disagree.
I just really, really like what Kirby's done this year as a coaching standpoint.
Maybe I'm wish casting because I want the upsets.
So you're going to take, right now, you've
Miami
got,
and Ole Miss.
You're going to take Miami and Ole Miss. I'll take Miami and Georgia.
Yeah.
I'll go there, and we're both taking Indiana.
Yep.
We'll save our Oregon picks.
I'm coin tossing on that one. I'm still waffling.
We'll get to that by the end. We'll figure that out when we get there. All right, that's college football playoff wrapper up right there. When we come back, we'll do Web Gems. A reminder, you can catch the Miami-Ohio State game today at 4:30. Coverage will start at 4:00. Following the Orange Bowl preview show with Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, and Jason Sukanik from 1 to 4, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When we come back, it's everybody's favorite, Web Gems, 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Now, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
Step into a Slim Jim!
From the top rope there, this is Web Gems, everybody's favorite. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the big nooner, we'll get to some Blazers chatter, and we'll wrap up our conversation about the Oregon Ducks as well. So the big nooner, a lot to get to. I haven't spoke with Danny about Blazers in about 2 weeks, and I kind of need it.
Basketball's happened, too.
I kind of need it, too. I got some questions. I got a question that I was asked that I don't know the answer to, that I know you will, about injuries. Not those ones, but not the ones nobody knows anything about, but the ones that that you might know about. So we'll get to that in the big nooner. But I wanted to, and we don't have to spend too much time. We can BS if we want. But I wanted to kind of just give a little tip of the hat to Philip Rivers here for Web Gems today. I don't know if we'll ever see something like this again.
I mean, he said no.
And I think it's just, I think we might be underestimating how cool this was. I think everybody knows it's like a fun story that Philly Rivers is back in the NFL and making the joke about needing health insurance for his kids and resetting the clock on the Hall of Fame, et cetera, et cetera. But I want you to realize that Philip Rivers played okay quarterback
at 44 years old coming off a couch.
And the four teams he played in their last six games are 24-0. I saw that stat and it blew my mind.
Good God.
Yes. So Rivers came in and played pretty solid against teams that are all going to the playoffs. And I think as fun as it is to make fun of his 30 kids and his high school coaching in Mississippi or Alabama, wherever it is, I think we need to remember, and I hope in 5 years when this comes back around, people understand that Philip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I don't think, when we talk about the Hall of Fame, I don't think you can tell the story of the NFL when you start to getting the modernization of the quarterback without talking about Philip Rivers.
No, he's a Hall of Famer.
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger were your stalwarts, and then you had guys below that in terms of, like, the big-time winners, those three. And then after that, you get your Drew Breeses of the world and your Aaron Rodgers of the world and Eli. I mean, like, Eli is not as talented as any of these guys, but he won two Super Bowls. Philly didn't win a Super Bowl, but Rivers was a damn good quarterback.
And again, against that 49ers team, he threw the ball 35 times for 280 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
Yeah.
In that, I mean, it was a blowout game from the Niners, but that's not his fault.
No.
It also goes to show you the level of quarterback play. It's not just physical tools.
No, it's really not.
It's the ability to see and make reads. It is processing. Because Philip Rivers' body, he joked about it. He's like, do I look like I'm in playing shape?
Let me ask this question. And it might be a stretch, but I'm going to ask this question. Assuming both players would be completely healthy all season long, whether it's, you know, a knee strain or a concussion or whatever.
Yeah.
Take all that off the table. You just need a functioning quarterback and you'll get in the playoffs next year. That's how good your roster is. Are you taking Philip Rivers or are you taking Tua Tagovailoa?
Rivers.
Exactly. And it's because it ain't the body. Tua's an athlete.
It's the mind.
Tua is an athlete.
And Tua's mind has been scrambled.
Okay,
so
let's maybe take Tua out of it because his mind is kind of scrambled. There are a bunch of quarterbacks that are even on teams that are playing pretty well that I would take Philip Rivers over. And
yeah.
And that's why he got the phone call when Daniel Jones went down.
Like,
because Daniel Jones, all they asked him was, dude, don't screw this up.
Kirk Cousins or Philip Rivers?
Rivers. I think Achilles is such a scary, tragic injury. Mm-hmm. Whether you know, I say this about Kobe. I say this about Clay. I think people...
We'll see what's up with Dame.
We'll see it with Dame. I think people like Tatum and Halle are in better positions because they're younger
sure.
to handle that injury. But when you get older and you have that injury, it's really difficult yeah. to come back from. Is Kirk in better playing shape than Rivers?
Absolutely.
Even with a repaired
Achilles. To be honest, in their primes, Kirk was in better shape than Philly Rivers.
Without a
Philly
doubt.
Philly Rivers was more Ben Roethlisberger, you know.
Like, big guy, not super athletic. Roethlisberger could run because he was just bigger.
He was just a tank. But Rivers was you never look at Rivers and go, huh, I wonder if he's vegan. You know what I mean? Like, my man was enjoying a cheeseburger on a Wednesday.
Without a doubt.
There's no doubt about it.
And Kirkers, while being the better athlete, made a ton of money. He ain't a Hall of Famer.
No.
I used to be a Charger fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And,
look, those Rivers, Tomlinson, Gates teams, Keenan Allen, you know, at the tail end of that, like, those teams, Philip Rivers is, been very good for a very long time. And we did this with Roethlisberger of like, if I told you that Ben Roethlisberger was one of the five best passers in the history of the game, would you believe it? And you're like, no. Oh my God. He like by every measure, he's a top eight guy. What, how the hell Rivers' name is right there.
Yeah. I have been a Rivers apologist basically my entire life. I once got into an argument with one of my oldest friends in college, about who the better quarterback was mm-hmm. at the time, and it was Philip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers.
Nobody.
And we put a fat bet on it, and I think Rivers finished, if my memory serves me correct, Rivers finished the year with better stats,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, see, told you, and I think Rodgers won the Super Bowl that
yeah.
year. And was like, oh, and definitely long term, I lost that argument. So I don't know if it's that I'm a Rivers apologist and have been my entire life.
No, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But I think what he did was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And this isn't Tom. I played last year, and I'm on a mercenary team in Tampa.
No.
This isn't Matt Stafford.
This is the guy off the couch.
Yeah, this isn't Matt Stafford being
older.
It's not
even Joe Flacco.
No, it's really not.
Who's still there.
Who still is
just
there.
Just hanging on. Just like Rivers was stone cold chilling. Coaching high school football.
If you think Joe Flacco is a cool story, Joe never stopped playing. And he's,
for a couple years.
And he's 4 years younger than Philly.
Remember, Philip Rivers was eligible for the Hall of Fame this year.
That means
year.
You've been out
Five.
For a while. Yeah. R.I.P. Philip Rivers. Thanks for the last ride, amigo. We had fun. All right, the Big Nooner is next. Let's get to some Blazers. Injuries piling up. Games over the last couple weeks. Let's check in on the state of your Portland Trail Blazers. Get some thoughts in, 503-864-6326 or over on the YouTube chat. One more to go. 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.